Album Concept Hour. The Album Concept Hour. It's the Album Concept Hour.
Welcome, everybody, to the Album Concept Hour. We are here again for another concept album. My name is Brad. We have we have Dave over here.
Yo.
And we have John.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just realized usually I say John first because you're closest to me, but I thought I'd switch it up.
Yeah.
You know, hey, man, it's just the classic three tonight, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Do it however we want.
Yeah, do it how we do it.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers to that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll drink to that.
And today we are finally breaking into one of the real legends of both hip hop and neo soul. Although she does not like that terminology she just doesn't like labels at all. You know what I mean? She's like, I don't want to be called neo soul. But
don't box
anyway,
me.
You're wondering who we're talking about? We're talking about Erykah Badu and her first of two concept albums called New America. Part one, Fourth World War. So that is what is on the table today. I'm really excited to get into this because she's kind of one of those figures that is, you know, highly regarded, but, you know,
not as much known about.
Yeah, probably wouldn't. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you'd consider her mainstream at any point. I don't know if she had like a breakout mainstream type moment, yeah. as you know, many hip hop artists do. But, you know, she's integral to the
she's just
art
always
form.
Just right under that, just
yeah,
not quite busting through, but just floating.
Yeah. I mean, I
right
think it's
close to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good to note her three baby daddies too.
Well, know, I was gonna say, so that's probably how most people I think know about her. And you know, this day and age is like, you know, she famously dated Andre 3000 in the 90s. They have a kid together. She dated Jay Dilla, and they have a child together, and she dated Common, and they have a child together. Wow, past Brad, this might be the earliest correction that I have made on an episode. So it wasn't Jay Dilla that she dated and had a kid with. It was Jay Electronica she dated and had a kid with. Also, although she dated Common for a short time, she did not have a child with Common. She has a child with the DOC, an American rapper from Texas. And she was also, as far as Andre 3000, she's the subject of the song Miss Jackson, apparently.
I did not know that. Yep, jeepers, yep. Grimey, that's
she cool. Is for real.
She is for
oh,
real.
Real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's one thing that you can take to the bank. She's for real. Yeah. So yeah, you know, that's how some people know, like, that's how, you know, that's how I knew about her, originally is through those, different avenues, but different she's worked avenues. With like Kendrick. She's worked with, Janelle Monáe. We just saw she's guested in a lot of things. She's like all over hip hop in a big way. And, she actually goes back to the beginning of it. She was there right when it started and was like doing like raps with a few, you know, friends of hers in the 80s, late 80s, before, you know, long before she had her own solo career that took off. But yeah, yeah. Erykah Badu. And she changed her name to Erykah Badu, like right before getting into this kind of new, like, solo career, which started somewhere in the mid 90s. So. That's where she like finally started to kind of, you know, be one of the players in hip hop officially. So yeah, that's a quick rundown of Erykah Badu. We'll see you guys next week on the show.
Later.
Bye. See. No, we should probably listen to a few clips before we get out of here. But yeah, so concept for this one, somewhat loose, but it is kind of. I think a newer, I don't know, I want to say a newer style for her as far as some of her previous work. It was mostly like more R&B than neo soul, but this is like all neo soul, funk, you know, soul, whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
Got
this
a lot
is
of
straight
genres.
Out of the 70s.
Yeah. Got a lot of 70s influence for sure. And yeah, I think it's. A lot of it is about, you know, the black experience and, you know, the erasing of their history and rediscovering that history, kind of stuff. as well as her, you know, kind of personal experience as well. So, yeah, we got a lot to get into. 11 tracks. It's like almost an hour long album, and it's pretty fantastic on a first and second and third listen. I've been really digging this album. You guys want to get into the first track?
Yeah,
I would love to.
Let's jump in. We're just diving right in this week, guys. This first track is called American Promise, spelled American Promise.
The Pussycats and the Jackals, you can leave them with me.
Promise to you, baby.
What were we just talking about? Funkadelic.
It's got a very, it's funkadelic and also like Sly and the Family Stone kind of vibe.
Mm, mm-hmm,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. For me, I wrote down Rufus featuring Chaka Khan. Mm-hmm. It really reminds me of Rags to Rufus, this album that I spin a lot. And like, man, it's so authentic as well. You know, like this could just be ripped right out of the 70s, you know?
It easily could.
So yeah, this is you know, obviously setting up the stage for the concept of the album as far as the what I was just talking about, like the erasure of culture and stuff. Let me see if I can find the clip again. Yeah, this is all talking about the American promise, though. You know what I mean? She asks at the end of the track, like, "Excuse me, has anyone seen my 42 laws?" Oh, I'm sorry. We're not responsible for lost articles and things. So they're not responsible for lost a culture when you join the American dream, is what he's kind of saying.
You're responsible for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's on you, right? Kind of similar.
A little appropriated, though.
Yeah, similar anyway. To the Zappa storyline a little bit.
Right.
You know, not being able to express yourself or, you know, experience the truth or whatever. But yeah, the 42 laws, though, refers to this 42 ideals of Ma'at, an Egyptian god.
Ma'at.
Which is like, it's got some really good good ideals to follow. And, you know, one thing about her, you know, background is she, you know, really identifies with, like, you know, some of the Egyptian black heritage stuff, and like, you know, considers that some of the culture that they've lost.
That was lost, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Which I'm sure we'll get into a lot more with the second album, because it's called Return of the Ankh, as the subtitle for it. We will get into the second one, by the way, listeners. We're going to do a twofer for Eric about
it. It's happening.
Spoilers. We are doing it. I'm not sure if it's going to be the next episode or if it's going to we're going to need a few weeks, but.
And hey, if you're listening to this down the road in 6-8 months or a year, you're like, yeah, I'll just listen to this and where's part two?
Exactly. Exactly. You know how podcasts work. You're listening to this in the future. You got so many more options.
Right.
You know, but yeah, this album though has a lot of interesting players in it. It's got a huge cast of artists and producers helping her out. Apparently she had kind of a period of writer's block for, I don't know if it was a couple of years or, you know, just, it doesn't seem like a huge period of writer's block between this and her last album, but, I guess finally like other hip hop friends and people within the scene started to like
push her, nudge her.
Yeah. Like start making beats for specifically for her and like, hey, I you know, want you
check
to
this
you
shit
know,
out.
Check this out, you know? And so she got like a real collaboration, with the creation of this. This first track we have, Roy, Ayers, who is a American funk and soul and jazz player. And, I think there's another Ayers somewhere in here, but yeah, I don't want to spoil who's involved in the production for other tracks. I'll get to him as we go to him. Speaking of that, I guess we might as well get into the second track because it's got Madlib producing.
Oh,
and this is 2008. I thought it was 2006. It's 2008 that this came out. But Madlib is, you know, one of the best from the 2000s into the 2010s as far as production goes. And, you know, did a lot of stuff with MF Doom and shit. So, yeah, I was really happy to see his name in here. But here is The Healer. It's bigger than religion, hip hop. It's bigger than my nigga, hip hop. It's bigger than the government. This one is for Dilla Hip
Hop. Nice.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, it's got obviously that clip, the J Dilla reference. J Dilla apparently died I think the year this came out, or maybe just while they were recording it. But there's this, and there's another song that's specifically kind of for J Dilla. But yeah, this one though, like, such an interesting sound. A composition to it. It's got like the bells and the
like a xylophone. Is that the
Yeah, some xylophone in there, and like very the echoey. Weird, you know, kind of deep in the recording, the bass. You know, it really reminded me of the production of Gorillaz' Demon Days, which I want to say that there's like a specific track on Demon Days that has this kind of production, but yeah, a similar time too. You know, Demon Days came out around the same time. In this one, she's kind of...
I really like her vocals, like, and the way she does it too. You know, with that little...
Yeah.
You know, you put a little bit of roughness.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's still very well produced.
Yeah, she's got a lot of character in her... the way
emotions
that she...
Emotions, and when you're singing, like, the voice is kind of...
Yeah.
Rides, like, different emotions very well, like, when...
Yeah,
like trying to like lay down more for like the future of the track or other tracks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's got a real range and has like a lot of confidence behind that range. As, I mean, speaking of her, just her as a person in general, like I've been watching, you know, some interviews with her, and she is like a, you know, kind of entity that like kind of takes over the room a little bit, you know what I mean? Like she does seem like she demands this kind of aura or whatever. Yeah, I can see why, you know Andre 3000 was with her and Common and stuff. Like she's got like this kind of
presence,
got this good energy. Yeah. You
know? And just chill, she's just chill and just really cool. Yeah. And just I don't know, it's just really, really interesting.
There's something in the pudding, you know,
something in the pudding, man. Yeah. And you know, specifically I watched a video with Mark Ribolette and Reggie Watts. Highly recommend anyone look it up. It's just those three hanging out, and there's like a 40-minute just jam sesh with the three of them. It was just fucking crazy. It was just, you know, really, really good video. Highly recommend you watch it on YouTube. I'll put a link in the description. But yeah. Yeah, she can play around with the best of them, you know. But yeah, this song, as far as the concepts here go, a big, you know, theme of this track is that hip hop is like a healer of sorts. I think that's what this is being called, the healer, and saying that, you know, hip hop is bigger than religion.
Well, you know, it's a positive outlet to get everything out, you know.
Yeah, tell
and
stories,
that's, and that's beautiful. You know, tell all your stories. You know, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything in between.
Well, yeah, and like, and in a way, you know, as far as like, it's how fast hip hop's popularity spread and how many people it touched. Like, in a sense, it is bigger than religion.
Yeah. It's a huge presence because it takes up almost every kind of like genre in music and kind of like. Melds it into like something different and takes like like a little
it
beat.
It became part of the pop machine,
little, like just taking little like nibs from here and there, like start slowly creating like just a whole new sound by like using almost all of music.
Yeah, yeah. Through like sheer will, you know, brought this like new exciting genre to the table, you know.
Beats from rock songs, from disco, from like just you name it, like just pulling little like tidbits from here and there and like just it's almost like sort of like the final product of like all music genres just kind of like meld into like these and this whole new sound.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the end boss of music, if you will. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Really, really cool production themes in this track. And this is like just the, you know, the love letter to hip hop track in general. You know what I mean? And then we get to this next track, which I have two clips for this one. But this one is a more personal one. It's about her. It's called Me.
It's about me?
And it's not about me, though. It's about her.
Yeah.
Not her, the guitarist. It's her. It's fine. Here's Me. Yeah, yeah, that one's got a really, like the you can hear on the snare drum. There's like the kind of I think they're using brushes maybe because it's got the kind of I don't know how to describe the sound of the snare drum doing that, but it sounds cool.
Very jazzy,
very jazzy. Yep, gave me a lot of Kendrick Lamar vibes. This track, honestly, this whole album really, really reminds me of Kendrick Lamar. Especially like To Pimp a Butterfly, like has a very neo soul like vibe to it the entire way through. And yeah, it like in retrospect, this makes perfect sense. You know, 2008, this comes out. Kendrick is just kind of starting getting going as far as his own stuff. And
I bet he listened to this.
Absolutely. And he went on tour with her a lot early on in his career. So like, yeah, this is like the context I need to fully like understand Kendrick, you know, how I really want to, you know.
Yeah, I love this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. Like, I
do that a lot.
There's so much, there's so many like, you know, facets, connections being made from this album and her story in
general. For everything, you know, it's just wonderful.
Well, I feel like at some point we can almost connect like every band or album we've done and some little like tree, like take a little string and just like.
Yeah. Yeah,
weave them along in a web and be like,
yeah. When we started this podcast,
bands turned on other musicians and back and forth.
Yeah, like I feel like when we started this podcast, I like compared to now, I barely knew anything. You know what I mean?
We know so much now.
We know so much.
We've listened.
Our brains are
so
big,
much.
Guys.
Right.
From listening to all this music. But yeah, so this track, she mentions Savior's Day in those lyrics, and from what I understand, Savior's Day is a.
That's what I was gonna ask because I couldn't quite hear it out when like what day she mentioned. So.
Yeah. Let me bring up the.
I was trying to pulp the lyrics myself. But I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, yeah.
Got them right here.
Always got to have the lyrics up. I don't want to know what to do with this podcast without the lyrics up. But yeah, Savior's Day is god damn it. Okay, so yeah, Savior's Day is a celebration from the Nation of Islam, which celebrates on Savior's Day on February 26th, the day of their founder, Master Wallace Fard Muhammad, and Erica has the same birthday. So in a way she like feels like she needs to, you know, be this, you know, big voice, you know, positive voice towards the music because of that. You know what I mean? She like has that almost imbued into her having been born on the same day. She also says that she salutes Farah Khan. He was a big Black American advocate from time. And yeah, then, oh yeah, that's right. Then we have the last little bit where she kind of gets into her
outro
personal life and some of her, you know, she talks about her mom and her dad and stuff. And this is in that outro bit from me.
Gibson Wright was a girl from South Dallas, Texas. Mary William gave birth to Erica, then Corian under Erica, and then she finally delivered Evan Wood. Coolie's friends called her Twiggy, cause she looked like the model with those eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that bit because she just sounds like such a normal person.
Yeah, it's very
like it's very stripped.
It's and very charming,
raw. Yeah, charming.
Yeah, that's yeah. Really it's really, I don't know.
It's innocence and there's
yeah, yeah.
Like anyone could sing that part. Da, 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 da. Like you get a little out of
yeah,
tune.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She does get a little out of tune in it too, which I like. Yeah. It's it helps. I think sell it. You know,
makes it personal. It makes
yeah,
it
yeah.
Hers.
And I love that it's like it's just like a jazz like accompaniment, you know. She's well, following can, trumpet.
Little
and,
trio.
You know, you can almost picture her like just like right in front of the yeah. Like this isn't about perfection, you know. Mm-hmm. This isn't about like I'm just sitting here.
It's like the B-sides, outtakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The studio shenanigans.
Well, yeah, and she's like, you know, not using traditional like, you know, music, I don't know, music theory as far as like what is perfect as far as choruses go or whatever. It's just like she's following the trumpet and doing what the trumpet does, you know.
Just dancing with it.
Yeah. And while she's telling her, you know, story about
a real musician,
Colin Gibson Wright, her mother, and William was her father. This also reminds me of something that like Kendrick might do in a track. You know what I mean? He might he's known to do some of these
drop some
weird
personal
sounding
bit.
Personal things, like the one where he's like really drunk in the I don't know if he's actually drunk, but he's like, you know, performing
playing.
As if he's drunk and really getting into some harsh stuff. But yeah. Really enjoyed that as far as like the flow of the album. And then we get to after me. So we have The Healer, Me, and then My People in the next track. So there is like there's like, you know, each track is about a very specific thing, you know, in the overall experience. But this one is My People.
I'm a bad motherfucker and I don't mind that.
Pure dynamite.
Yeah, yeah, I like the beginning of that with I couldn't find out where those clips are from in the beginning of that track, but it's yeah, I don't know if you guys know like what movies or whatever those clips are from, let me know, because I honestly could not find out.
1-800-HITNERD 1-608
Hitner. Yeah. Yeah, this one's got a pretty simple you know, theme and production to it, you know. It's She's says the hold on my people part the entire song, like, is, you know, repeated. And then at the very end, the last like four or so are just a cappella hold on my people. But, you know, just a real, you know, simple message, like, you know,
just gotta hold on, guys.
Yeah, through the thunder and lightning, the weather gets rough, you gotta hang on. When it gets real rocky and windy, hold on. And yeah, there's just a lot of, you know,
keep on moving.
Keep on moving. Keep your head up. You know,
keep your head up.
A message, literally, to her people. You know, to hold on through all the strife. You know, other than that, I don't have too much to say about this track, though.
Simple track.
It's a pretty simple track, but it's a good track.
It's a good track.
It's a good track. Let's go see what the production's like in this track, though. I want to make sure I get them following this right. We had Madlib producing a couple tracks back, and he also produced this one, which honestly, like, if you know Madlib, those two tracks really do
track.
Feel like Madlib tracks. Yeah, they track in the most literal sense of the word.
Ha!
Yeah, yeah. And then this next track we have for you has a couple people involved in it. Kerry M. Riggins, Tom Barriage, William Enns, Hans Waterman, and Gus Willems. Yeah. And this is called Soldier.
Sent the brothers packing heat. Woo, woo. Then everything changed, 'cause he saw his own wings, and his mother was sad. Pain will last, time will pass.
That is very 90s R&B.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. It is like when she gets into the R&B mode, it is like the best of 90s R&B, like straight up, you know. And like I said, the earlier albums are, I think, more R&B than this album. This album's got a lot more soul and funk,
more
I think,
funk
to it. Yeah, because I listened to her first album's Baduism, and then I think I listened to Mothership Connection. I want to say the other album is that I listened to Mothership Connection. Mothership Connection's by Parliament. This is Mama's Gun. You're thinking of Mama's Gun. You know, they're good, but they're just more of I don't know, track by track, or they're a little more consistent as far as the production and genre. But yeah, this track involves a lot of big subjects, such as racial inequality and black oppression. And she goes over in like the first verse, she's talking about being a mom, the mother of young black boy, and what that might mean in worrying about what could happen in America. In the end of the first verse, it says, seemed like everything was cool except the brothers packing heat, whoop whoop, then everything changed because he saw his own wings and his mother was sad. Pain will last, time will pass, stop. But yeah, I love that.
What am I talking about?
I love that way of describing that, you know, kind of horrible situation. He saw his own wings, like he saw his angel wings as he passed. But
it's very country of him, actually.
Oh yeah,
country music does that a
lot. They do that a lot in country,
actually.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
There's saw especially 90s country.
Okay,
there's a couple of songs about like stuff like that.
Okay, yeah,
it's crazy.
It's just a beautiful way
that,
to
just, yeah yeah
describe
it's a beautiful
that
beautiful way.
And then let's see, verse two, she starts talking about boys going to Iraq, because this is, you know, this is,
of course, that's
in that time period. Yep. Girls going to therapy and girls on prescription pills. She kind of, you know, separates the black male experience from the, you know, black female experience. She talks about dirty cops,
so bad.
Yeah, a lot of racial inequality, and you know what to do about that. You know, I don't know.
You know, it's just it's always been talked about. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's just sad. It always takes that much to, but you know,
yeah,
you know, she's doing the right thing though.
Well, yeah, that's part of what usually sucks about these kinds of things in retrospect is that they are being talked about. They are known. I mean, she says throughout the song, everybody knows what this song's about, you know, kind of calling that fact out, you know. But yeah, still, though, every so many years, we still have to keep on figuring it out again.
I mean, it takes not just people talking about it. It takes, you know, songs. It takes movies. I mean, you just you keep piling it up until I go, ah, you're right.
You're right. Yeah.
And then once enough people admit it,
yeah,
that's when problems start to get solved.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, oh,
that's when progress is made.
This is
that's been wrong the whole time too. Then wow,
I didn't
even know that.
Yeah, yeah, and it does show, like, you know, the kind of I don't know, the ignorance that people inflict upon themselves by ignoring these pieces of culture. You know what I mean?
Oh, so true.
Yeah.
And the damage that's done in all the years that they're not, like, nothing happens too.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Irreversible damage.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's not even getting into, like, you know, generational wealth and that kind of, those dynamics. You know, that's something that,
well, like, even what I was talking about earlier, like how I've, like, realized with some of the people that I, like, you know, work with, like, some people just want you have to go through the same trauma they did,
because
then it's trauma bonding.
Yeah, you're mentioning that.
At the very least,
that's
what we can relate to then.
Yeah,
you know, like, it's crazy. That's what some people really need in their life, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's, ugh.
Yeah, yeah. Just wanting you to be set in the ways that that's how it's quote unquote always been or whatever, you know. But yeah, really, really good track. And then the next track we got for you is, well, we'll probably listen to this track and then take a break after this one. But this next one is The Cell. She like damn, damn, baby, baby. Rich man got the double barrel. Old man got his back to the door. Cold white stands for trouble. Shouts from the popo. Shouts to the popo.
Blah, blah.
I love the just, like, that, soft blah.
You know,
blah.
You know what's funny is that, like, that is such a thing in hip hop right now. You know, that sound effect, that exact sound effect.
Oh, blah, yeah, yeah. Blah. That's been around for,
you know, I know, but 90s, like, that's like,
I think all about, like, Wu Tang, where they're talking, like, the, I think it's the torture, but it's like pow, and they're doing all the all the noises.
Yeah, so I like this twist on it where it's just like blah blah, just soft.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah. And I will say, this is one of the moments where I, like, got up out of my chair, was just like, what? Because I wrote down that this one has Thundercat vibes. I looked up and saw that the production was by Shafiq Hussein, and the bass is Thundercat. It had, like, there are, like, six or seven tracks that have Thundercat on bass. And, you know, this is back in 2008. I don't know if he was doing his own stuff yet by then, but, like, yeah, I was just really surprised to see his name in the credits, you know?
He is great live if you guys get a chance.
Yeah, yeah. My brother's seen him live a couple times. I really want to see
Majestic,
him.
That was a fantastic show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because he's like a band guy. I'm going to jam out with other, you know, a
he
whole
is, and this whole band just in that same vibe, like, you can, like, they're just there, they're enjoying, like, having fun, but also, like, playing the music. It's just, like, this great playing off each other, and, like, it's so
and I would imagine, like, every show is different because of that, you know.
I would guess there'd be a lot of they probably have, like, a core or a few songs, like, they interchange a lot, but I'm sure there's a lot that they just, like, play around with too, like,
yeah,
let's try it this way, how about.
Yeah, like, it's one of those things. It's like what we learned with Frank Zappa. Is, like, he thought that, like, recorded stuff was poo-poo. You know what I mean? He was all about the live show and everything. And I think that artists like Thundercat are probably in a similar vein, you know, because it's all about the immense talent that they wield, and you can't always just capture that in one track.
No, it's like creativity. Know? They're always, like, trying to change, not change it to like make it better, but just like, how about this? How about we do this? How about we try this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's just them having fun and just like working through it and just being like incredibly creative with that.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I was really, really excited to see the Thundercat was involved in this album because, I mean, I think that's, you know, a part of the magic for this album for sure. Like, he's one of the best, like, you know, backbones to a song you could have as far as a hip hop song goes. So, yeah, I was just so excited to see an early, like, glimpse at what Thundercat would then, you know, transition into his own thing. Because, yeah, I thought that he was just a young random guy that just like, oh, he's good at bass and everybody likes him. He put out a good album and, you know, off to the races. But like, he's in this legend album, you know, so he's been around. He's been planting
little bass seeds,
making his rounds. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, this one is The Cell, and I think it's referring to, I'm trying to see, I think it, Oh, it's talking about the DNA cell, I think. She says the same DNA cell. Yeah, this is repeated in the album or in this track, I think, a few times. But a girl came through the light skin honey with cinnamon smell. Girl was so enticing, baby, make a person choose hell. Mama hopped up on cocaine, daddy on spaceships with no brain. Sister gone numb with the pain, the same DNA cell. And then Welcome to America, home of the brave. Let's see. Nickelback, coke to the brain, will ever find the vaccine? Shitty damn bam, baby bang. Rich man got the double barrel. Poe man with his back to the door. Code white stands for trouble. Shots from the po-po, blah, blah. And then that's just repeated over and over again for the last section of the song. So yeah, kind of similar to the fourth track, My People, where it's like kind of it's a vibe, it's a continuous, you know, thing that goes throughout the track that, you know, just goes. But yeah, I think we're gonna take a quick break and then we're gonna get back for the second half of the podcast, where I actually have three of the next five tracks I have double clips for, because there's just a lot. This is one of those songs where it's got a lot of long tracks with a lot of interesting parts. So I wanted to make sure to highlight some of those interesting parts. So yeah, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with the Album Concept Hour. I swear that gets better every time I hear it.
I know.
Welcome to our segment of the podcast where we all share the what we're drinking tonight. We have a very special edition of What Is Dave Drinking Tonight. We're actually going to make John taste all of the beers as well. You know, he's usually a steel reserve guy, but we're gonna get his palate tested on this one. So here, I'll pour you a little bit of a little snippet of that.
What am I drinking, sir?
All right. So first you're drinking something from the Youngblood Beer Company. And this is called Weird Hat Band. Let me know what you think of that, John.
It's almost fruity.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's got some a pastry sour with peach, basil, graham cracker, and vanilla.
Yeah, I knew I tasted some vanilla in there.
Yeah, yeah, right. a little bit of vanilla in there, and then this one's more your standard. This is a pilsner called "Fishing for Fishies," which is the name of a King Gizzard album. I think they've been guilty of making a King Gizzard beer before, you know.
Ugh, bro.
Yeah, yeah,
that's a yeasty beer.
Yeah, kind of a Germany kind of
whitey.
Yeasty does it.
Yeah, yeah. From the Eagle Park Brewing Company. Yeah. And then we got another one for you over here.
Oh.
Yeah. We got all sorts of stuff for you today, John. This is
Untitled Arts.
Untitled Arts.
Collaboration with the Chocolate Chip Ice Cream. The Maltimora.
Oh, ooh. God. Mm. Yeah, that is dark beer mixed with chocolate.
Ooh. Yeah. It is like a dark chocolate.
Yeah.
That's really great.
It actually makes it tolerable. So not great, but tolerable.
Then you're going to kick up three notches.
Yep.
It's a collaboration title art. This is the a barrel-aged German chocolate stout.
Yep.
With pecans, is it coconut?
Pecans, coconut. Okay. How was that one, John?
Yeah, I can taste the pecans.
Yeah,
they're really in the aftertaste, actually.
Ooh.
It actually calmed me down.
It's a nice.
I was feeling like that works.
It's only 17%.
Not something
too.
I drink the 17. Whole thing.
I see. Wow,
very nice.
This one's like a liquor.
It goes down like a White Russian, but it tastes like 8%.
Yeah, you know, I'm getting a little White Russian there in the back again.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
can definitely see
good.
That.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, not something I drink all, but that was good. That was probably my favorite, actually.
Yeah.
Out of all of them.
I'll take it.
Nice.
I'll take the W.
A little bit of cherry there in the background too.
A little bit of cherry.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Got a lot of flavors in it. And then you got a Coors Banquet over
Coors
there.
Coors Banquet,
I see.
Always.
The standard.
That or Modelo or a Hams.
I do not need to try that
for the record. Yeah. What do you think of this?
If it's good enough for Smoking the Bandit, it's good enough for John.
I'd say that it was number three.
What about you,
fruity for my taste?
What about you, Dave? What do you think of the Youngblood?
During the break, we were talking about sours, and there's a lot in the past like they would get very acidic.
Yeah,
you had to like really like them to enjoy them. Like Upland had some pretty potent stuff. Cascade, they were good.
Yeah,
but like they were a gut bomb.
Gut bomb for sure.
And
there's a lot of
places that started doing kind of sours, but they were kind of light, and they were nice. Like during like a warm day, they were a great beer. Like sit on the deck, nothing crazy, but yes. God, who's the maker?
Youngblood,
a local why is it
Madison? Staple Youngblood.
I will say they have one of their. Sort of, it's not one of their breweries. It's like one of their little pouring stations, kind of sits over off of kind of near us on North Street here.
Yeah.
And then they have like I think 8 or 10 beers on tap anytime you go in there. And sometimes I want like an IPA or pilsner, but every now and then like I'll grab one of the random sours because they have a ton.
And I don't know how
they're always rotating through, and it's insane what they do. But every time I've tried, I'm like that might be good.
Yeah,
it's always goddamn good.
Yeah, I've yet to have one of their beers that wasn't just like something special.
So anytime there's like locals or people with them, like I don't like sours. I'm like, just try it. I guarantee there's a good chance that you will actually like these beers.
Yeah,
because they're not over acidic. They're not gonna rip the enamel off your teeth. They're not gonna like destroy your guts for like a day.
Yeah.
They're just good flavor, and they always have a very interesting profile, like what they're doing. Like what was
the beer, the titles of the
titles
beers
are fantastic.
Great. Well, yeah, because there was like one that was like I don't know, like I don't think this is actually a name, but like Pop Punk Boyfriend or something. That would be a title.
Their names are like there's one I liked was like Johnny Sweep the Legs. There was like Dad Bod. There's like and
their names are just awesome.
And the trade with some of the people who work there, basically it's everyone that works during the day or a joke or something catches an ear. Like, what did you say?
Yeah.
That should be entitled
a
beer.
That's
beer. They just keep the list of like weird shit and phrases. Yeah. And they just keep going to the cans. Mm-hmm. When you go in the shop and you see like 8 or 10 of these like 4-packs and I just enjoy looking at the goddamn names because they're
I'll always
hilarious.
Stop and like read them. Yeah. Yeah. And this one, this one I chose because it's called Weird Hat Band. And I mean, Erica Badu
always
is
awesome
known
hats.
For awesome hats.
Yes.
Yeah. She's got like a lot of those like tall ones that are kind of like
height.
From, I want to say paganism or something. Because, she's got a lot of really cool hats. you know. So yeah, that's my connection to the
great job, Erica. We love your hats.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we're drinking tonight, guys. And that's what Dave's been drinking.
And cheers to Steel Reserve.
Cheers to Steel Reserve, as always. All right, moving right along, we have five more tracks for you, but a lot more clips than that. So this next track from New America, Part One, Fourth World War, is Twinkle. And I have the song Twinkle, and then I'll have a bit of the comedic speech that is at the end. And then here's a little bit of that comedic speech near the end.
Aum au ku mes tahalu kamu mesu inter u tef ma atu apu at ku apu at smet abu untu inter.
So yeah, that's a bit of a language from the, you know, kind of Egyptian area of Africa, and you know there are, you know, those that believe that, you know, Black Africans came from that area, and you know obviously were taken and placed elsewhere, but yeah, that you know, along with the theme of the track Twinkle, which has a lot of, you know, again, bringing up that erasure of culture with, like, they don't know their language, they don't know their God, they don't know what they're given, even, mm-hmm. or they take what they're given even when it feels odd. They say their grandfathers and grandmothers worked hard for nothing, and we still in this ghetto, so they'll end up in prisons, they'll end up in blood. So, yeah, continuing with that kind of theme of, you know, kind of the American dream being you know, kind of a nightmare,
not so great for some people.
Mm-hmm. yeah and
but still being sold to them. It's like capitalism.
And it's got a lot of stuff in here, you know, that kind of slightly references the, you know, Nation of Islam with like the five percenters and stuff. I don't know if she actually says the five percenters by name, but if you don't know what the five percenters, what that is, it's this idea that, here I got the breakdown, here we go. 85% of the people in the world are lost and, you know, don't know who they are. 10% of the people in the world are rich and the people that take advantage of others. And then 5% are the poor and the spiritual kind of leaders of the world. And so, yeah, the 5% slash like Nation of Islam, you know, movement kind of hinges on that idea that they are the 5% that is, you know, supposed to be leading the world into a better place, you know. Oh, and there's some vocals in this from Omar from the Mars Volta. Yeah, I'm not sure where exactly he lies in this album, in this track, but yeah. it's another thing I was reading, so
nice.
Another connection there. I think that maybe one of my favorite lines in the song is, we are the brightest light born from the deepest black. I think that also kind of references her name, Badu. It means like illuminating light or something.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll correct myself later if that's not what it means. Well, you were kind of close, past Brad. So it's not Badu that means that. The word Ka means inner light in Egyptian. And so she added that to Erica, Badu is a Ghanan word that means 10th born child. However, she chose it because it is her favorite jazz scat sound, Badu. Yeah, really, really deep track. This one's really, really heavy one. Oh, and then after the comedic speech, there's a kind of a speech in English that's similar to the speech in The Network from the 70s, the movie where the guy's like, they've taken all this from us and we're,
yes,
taking our humanity and we got to get mad, damn it. You know,
they have the new newscaster or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, was a very, very, very famous.
Yeah. So this is the very, very end of the song has somewhat of an interpolation of that speech, which is, and you really, you hear it if you know that, you know, you really see the connections. But yeah, it's the idea that we're programmed to be a part of this, you know, particular way of thinking, and we should be mad about it, and we should fight back, you know, all that.
The only
good
way
stuff.
To change things,
yeah, push it forward a little and bit.
Borderline, they live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. It is. Yeah, they right. live is increasingly becoming like one of those like movies that just ages so well. You know,
scary well.
Yeah If you haven't seen They Live out there, guys, it's one of John Carpenter's best, I think.
We highly suggest.
Highly.
Yeah. But yeah, this next track we got for you guys is I do have two clips for this one as well, because this one's kind of got like two songs within one. It's one of those that like halfway through stops, transitions to a different style entirely. But here is the first section of that, Master Teacher.
Even if your baby ain't got no money to support you, baby, you stay woke. Even when the preacher tells you some lies and cheating on your mama, stay woke. Even though you go through struggle and strive to keep a healthy life, stay woke.
There she goes again, just telling people like keep your eyes open no matter what, against anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You
yeah.
know, just like it doesn't matter. Like if you're in the poor class, like, you know, yeah. just keep your eyes open.
Keep your eyes open, keep learning. Looking. Yeah. This is kind of like I see the titling for it as like Master Teacher as like, well, the first half, I guess, is like she's kind of the message is to everyone, to like the world mm-hmm. and to her community and stuff. And then the second part, which we'll get to, is more being a teacher to just her own child, you know. But yeah, this one has a lot of really cool stuff going on in it. Shafiq Hussein, again, with production. Let me see who else is in this track. Oh, right. This is one with Curtis Mayfield.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I think, I'm not sure if he's, directly involved or if it's just, you know, they used a sample, but, for all I know, he was directly involved.
I want to say,
yeah. Cause he, oh yeah, no, he was already passed by the time this came out. Yeah. So, yeah. Definitely a sample situation, but Curtis Mayfield,
there in spirit.
One of the goats.
But again, just showing how this is supposed to be real, you know. This is from the 70s, you know. This is her giving you,
I think,
her, like,
I think I gave you a copy of Superfly.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Right. I love that album and film. Yeah. Right. It's an amazing film. But yeah, this is got a really, really cool neo soul vibe. Again, kind of reminiscent, well, not reminiscent of Kendrick Lamar because that comes after, but you know, something that would inspire that kind of thing.
Inspire future music.
And, you know, the stay woke thing, you know, that was said a lot before, you know,
our current
political climate. Yeah. It was definitely said a lot before that, but then, yeah, obviously we live in
she's a trendsetter,
a woke world now or whatever.
we're trying to.
Yeah. We're trying to, but there's people that
every
are
day,
just
man.
Anti-woke.
Every day, you know? We are just trying to make these.
Yeah.
Just make us all just like understand.
I love how making things better is bad.
Yeah.
It's never happened.
It's definitely, well, there's some people that have turned it into a negative connotation for sure.
Oh, for sure. If you try to do something like change or try to make things mm-hmm. that were like, oh, we should change this. It wasn't the best. We should move forward. We should, progress these thoughts and just be better, right?
Yeah.
We
learn
from the past.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And you, and people are like, no, fuck no, that.
I refuse. I refuse to give in to progress.
I would take my boots and pockets, I pulled up myself and stepped down hard.
The pockets that you find, man, just fucking crazy.
Yeah. You run into this in the world these days, mm-hmm. this anti-woke sentiment.
Yep.
And then, like I said, this next part, we get into a kind of slow jazz kind of section of the track, maybe R&B jazz. But this is the section that's more about her being a mother, I think.
As they woke, congregation nodded their head to say amen, the deacon fell asleep again. As they woke, as they woke.
You know what's funny about the drop in because that's more like something you'd hear at the dentist in the background kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
you know. And what's funny about that is that's so much more personal almost like for her because mm-hmm. she's just saying this is her regular life. She's gonna stay with, no matter what.
Yeah,
she's warning you. She's warning us. She's telling us.
Yeah,
but like no matter what, she's gonna stay woke.
Yeah,
she's just living her life.
Well, I like that
little background music going on all the time.
Well, I like the juxtaposition too with the deacon fell asleep again,
mm-hmm.
but she stays woke.
Yep.
You know, here we go. Baby's sleepy. Time to put her down, and I'll be hanging around until the sundown.
Mm-hmm.
Because she stays woke in this sense to take care of the baby. So it takes a different.
It reminds me a lot of the outro for me, where it's like that little like a story. It's almost like she's reading like a storybook, or maybe to her daughter. It could be like mm-hmm. just like telling or a personal story about the family.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it has this song has that version or this track has that same kind of
energy.
Vibe where it's a very personal to one person, or this is to mm-hmm. you.
Right? Yeah, and I'm not sure. Which baby was the youngest at this time or whatever, but she's had three kids and it could be about,
it could be not personal, but just there could be like maybe the listener, like a very personal to you, like
mm-hmm. it does feel a lot more personal,
like a one-on-one conversation,
like me. Definitely. Excuse me again. This next track we got for you guys, I think that means I'm supposed to move on, right? The next track we got for you guys is That Hump. I don't remember what it's about. I'm about to look at my notes.
'90s R&B.
That's
the stuff I like live for. Like when you put it on, you're like,
mm-hmm.
there's a moods, there's feelings, like
it's like just, a warm blanket.
You just want to move your body.
You can feel the artist. Like when you hear tracks like this, you can feel like it's just dripping and oozing with emotion and feeling. And like as a listener, you can just easily like,
mm-hmm.
I'll use your example, Brad. Like a wet blanket. Like you sit down, like you put this on, like I feel this is
I feel so
many
so
feelings
warm.
Are happening.
Like pulling a blanket out of the dryer.
Right?
Throwing it on. Uh-huh, I could melt. Right.
Yeah. Mm. Absolutely.
Cold day, like throw your pants in the dryer, then right last minute put them on and walk out the door.
Well, and some people referred say that she's like Nina Simone, and I can see it in moments like this, like just creamy
personal
vocals.
Heartfelt, like
yeah
I think that's what's missing with, I think that's the barrier. I feel like in a, when you break like the popular music work, you'd lose a lot of that. Like you don't have personal feelings because you're like, you want to make something that anyone can be like, and just enjoy it. You don't have to think about it. Like, but put something like this on, there's just something that it's,
like that's the soul to it. I think that's the soul aspect of the music.
It's so personal. There's so much emotion going into the song and caring that I think it's lost when you do like a top 40 hit, like
the flavor of
the day. Like no one gives a shit in a week. Like what were we listening to last week?
Yeah. I think that like soul is one of the first casualties when it comes to crossing the barrier into the mainstream
for sure.
A lot of times. Cause it is personal and full of like feeling and not necessarily universally like marketable, you know,
exactly.
I mean?
Downside, you're not gonna have like, you're not gonna make a ton of money, it's not gonna be popular, but the upside, like for like the listener or the who's ever making, like you have like this great connection, you get these feelings, like you could put this record on and these tracks, you can like start open, you can just close your eyes and just think about like your story, your feelings, because you're getting like this great back and forth and like you can relate.
Yeah.
I think that's what I love about like a good song or good music. Like you just, you start like feeling different emotions and you get like really attracted to like, and why do you feel so like into it, like emotionally invested into, like you just really like, you just lose yourself in a track like this.
Yeah. And I think that I was thinking about, just while you're talking, I was thinking about the fact that, like, you know, To Pimp a Butterfly, which has a similar kind of neo-soul approach to the album, that was, you know, probably the biggest example of this as far as, like, popularity goes. But even that was famously snuffed at the Oscars. Not Oscars, Grammys, with that Macklemore thing.
Yep.
So even then, like with Kendrick putting it out there, wasn't enough to you know, get that kind of recognition.
But at the same time, I think like it also, it works well with movies, in my opinion. Like you have like, it might be the box office, like it might take home like hundreds of millions of dollars. It might be the Titanic, or it might be like whatever, like the big summer blockbuster. But like, there's still going to be those sleeper movies that are like everyone loves. It's like that scene, like it's, you can put in a room and drop a few movies. Like everyone's like, that's the best movie. That's a great movie.
Yeah. When you really feel what the artist's intention is.
I feel like that happens with songs like this, where like, it's not the blockbuster. It's not what everyone, like you can like ask 1,000 people and like not everyone heard of it, but the people that do really enjoy it, like more than the people that have seen it.
Yeah. Like that's like, she has like, you know, that kind of fan base.
It becomes like that cult following, like that, those movies that come out like 20 years later. Now everyone loves it.
Yeah. Like everyone that heard her, like was inspired to make better art on their own, you know, which is, you know, that's a sign of like a real artist.
Musician.
Yeah.
100%.
We also have Thundercat in this track as
it's
well.
It's not the fact you made a $20 million, you bought a mansion, a helicopter, and then 3 years later you went broke and no one remembers you. Like, what song was that again?
No one
gives a shit because you made a shitty song. You made a bunch of money and also you lost all the money.
Yeah.
You basically contributed nothing.
Yeah, and it's timeless too. You know, it's
exactly
something that, like, this came out in 2008.
You could drop this and no one would probably guess what year, like it, because it is timeless. Like, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's
well produced. It's like, it's well thought out. Like, and to come after, like, you know, some years of writer's block, it's just such an explosion of,
like the dam broke inspiration. And like all of a sudden things just
And you heard a little bit of the second one. I haven't heard it yet, but I'm really excited to get into it because this is such a, you know, amazing, you know, I don't want to say improvement on her style, because her earlier albums are great too, but like, it's definitely like a growth of her, you know, musical, you know, horizons.
Yeah. You know? A little sneak peek to the listeners. I accidentally listened to part two first.
Yeah.
Because I got wires crossed. I'm like, this is a great album. I'm really jazzing going to this. I'm like, oh, we're doing part one?
Yeah.
I was all excited for Bert.
So you know the future of what we're going to get into.
I see the future, Brad. The future is good. The
future is really good. I can't wait to jump into that. As far as the themes for this one are pretty universal too. Kind of what she's talking about with that hump is that kind of, I want to say like living paycheck to paycheck kind of hump where it's like, oh, you know, just after this paycheck, we're going to make it and it's going to be fine.
It's definitely not the Black Eyed Keys vibe, right?
No. That's actually going to be coming up in the next YouTube video that we're putting out. It's a very very relatable track. Like, let's see. Lord knows I'm trying, said I'm tired of this shit, this dope, but it make it better. It's dragging me lower and I just know it. Numbing yourself a little bit because of your situation. Here we go. We just need a bigger house with a bigger, hope it comes with a spouse, this building, my brother sleeping on the floor. A bitch could use a little more. If I could just get over that hump, man, then maybe I'll feel better, you know. Especially with the way the economy is now, you know, like we can really relate to that problem, you know.
I mean, and since 2008 this was in?
2008 this came out,
yeah. I mean, even since 2008, you know, it's that hump's got worse for majority of people. Like,
it's only gone south.
Only gone.
It is.
Yeah. That hump is going downhill or up, so fast.
Or up. The hump is getting larger.
The hump would go up.
Yeah, depending on how you're looking.
The hump is up.
We're already on the downswing, so we just keep hitting the speed.
Is that what my humps is about? You heard it here first, guys. My humps. Reference to Erykah Badu's That Hump. This next track we got for you is a song entirely for and about J Dilla. So this is kind of her, tribute to J Dilla. Here is Telephone. Such a beautiful song and sentiment. Fly away to heaven, brother, and I think one day I'll meet you there, I think is what it says.
Man, I will say R.I.P. to Dilla, because he was one of the like musician type artists that was really about the music. He loved music from the start to finish, everything, the process of it, mm-hmm. like making the beat, more like he just loved project to project to project. Like, yeah. I think it was like, I want to say it was his mother or someone in his family, like, saw like an article, like, oh, you, like, it was a whatever song he made. I can't remember who, like, what the magazine was or what song, mm-hmm. again, because he put for so many artists, like beats and like,
yeah, he's one of
music,
those
like,
guys
it's like an insane
everything.
Amount,
yeah.
And like came to him like, oh, was this your song? He's like, yeah. He didn't care about like the accolade. He didn't want like everyone like.
He didn't want the aesthetics. He
finished it. He's like, great, I made another one. And then he was on the next project. He just loved making music. He just loved like.
Yeah. That's like a real producer right there. Like that actually, like the process is what.
He didn't care if his name was stamped on. He didn't want it. He didn't like.
Yeah.
He just loved music.
Well, you were telling me that he had like she had approached him to learn how to mix or
when
whatever,
they were
right?
On that sort of that collective, like the Soulquarians,
I think, something like that. Yeah.
And there's she came to Dilla about like wanting to do having him like make some beats and stuff, and he basically had her come over, if I remember the story correctly, and like start like going through his collection, like, you know, play some songs, play these tracks, what do you like? And then kind of showing her like that, like how to like kind of make a beat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, so I think it was the album we were talking about was, I think it was Mama's Gun.
Oh, it might be Mama's Gun. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was one of her earlier albums.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, they sat down and just like cranked these tracks for this, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. I think she references that a little bit here. I just saw this section here. Telephone, it's too early. We want to hear a song, or hear a long song. Transition with a real slow fade. I think that's got to be maybe one of the like notes that she gave her to, you know, to teach her what was going on with mixing. Yeah. But I think that's just such a great story though, because it's like, instead of like just doing the beats for her, he actually, you know, took the teacher role and was like, no, I'm gonna share this with you.
I know I also mentioned this in a few other past, but there's a great YouTube series as maybe 15 years ago, but it's called Crate Diggers, and they had like all these great like DJs and guys in the music, they kind of like in their rooms with all their records and talking about like their favorite stuff. And like,
yeah,
but by the time they got, they're doing this, Dylan has already passed. So they're basically, some of his friends went to like one of his storage units that had all his records in it.
Oh my God.
And they were pulling through his boxes, and they're going through his machines and just basically sharing stories about like all like going shopping with him, like what it was like. And like even Questlove had stories like, man, like got a chance to actually go and hang out and just, you know, dig around in crates and just like find records and like his like secrets, so cool. Like what he would look for, like what's a good record, like he would joke like, you want a pulp record, you want to see like the more people in a band, the better.
Yeah.
And the more instruments, better. Because you're going to get some of the craziest like sounds in some of these records.
Well, that's what I think when I see like the list of, you know, personnel, and it's like an entire page of Wikipedia. It is like, this is how big the, you know, To Pimp a Butterfly credits were. You know, I remember it being just a huge list. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this album definitely falls under that category. And I wanted to say that, speaking of Questlove, this song has got some production from Questlove. This song that we just heard.
Oh, that's really cool.
So, yeah.
Well, he's been around forever.
So that's a great connection as well, because he was a good friend of Dylan a long time ago, and also in Soulcurian. So
yeah, he's one of those guys that's also involved in like pretty much everything in hip hop from like a certain time to a certain to now. You know.
Because the group before them was pretty much like Tribe, De La Soul, Jungle Brothers. It was all like that was like that collective. And then a few years later, then they kind of, this group kind of took over.
Yeah.
Questlove, Eric Badu, J Dilla.
Yeah. Really, really important group of people in hip hop.
Again, just like the tide wave changing, like just a different sound, and but like a great. Just they put down as a great base for like what music can be and changing the chorus and just like just making like great tunes.
Well, yeah, and they set the stage for the, you know, hip hop of the 2010s.
Yep,
like for sure. You know, between, you know, Kendrick and Odd Future and Frank Ocean and stuff, like these guys that, you know, were younger when this was coming out. Like this was what they latched onto and grew with. You know. Which must have been, which makes me like appreciate them more and understand them a lot more, having had this context, you know. But yeah, we have another track for you guys. This one is called Honey, and this was the single for the album. Technically, it's a bonus track. So here's Honey. Yeah,
that voice goes down like honey. God damn,
dripping,
right? I like that.
That is fantastic.
Like, That's Ninth Wonder, by the way. Another you know, mainstay in hip hop production. And the main sample for that track is Nancy Wilson's "I'm in Love." So, oh, I should also mention this one won MTV's Best Direction category for the music video.
God damn!
It has a bunch of it's her being inside of a bunch of album covers. So like Maggot Brain, that one Tribe Called Quest album cover where Low there's the three of their heads. I think it's Low End Theory, where their three heads are kind of head, you know, face towards the center. There's a part where she's in the Nas cover.
Midnight Marauder, I think.
I don't know those albums by name very well, but yeah, it's a really cool music video, especially for the time, because like, she's like carrying around these records and they have like, you know, pictures of her in those album covers. And then she's like moving along and stuff. So they had to like track the record through the store, nice. Before that was as easy as it is now. Like now that music video, like any YouTuber worth their, you know, worth their editing techniques would be able to do this, but it's, you know, pretty impressive.
This
in
is what
2008.
Inspired that shit though.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. And yeah, in these lyrics, she's just pining after this fictitious slim guy. So it's kind of like I think she described it as like a bluesy kind of standard as far as the you know what the song's about.
The whole thing.
Like, just
I want it, boy. Of course not. But still. So,
yeah.
You get the point.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, really, like, I like that the album ends on a high note after the tribute to Jay Dilla. It really, you know, picks it up and gives it a hopeful note at the very end of things. And then we actually get a teaser for the second album here. Here's that teaser.
Your train. From this point, ladies and gentlemen, you're on your own. New America. Fourth World War. Please stay tuned for New America Part 2.
Soul a butt.
Return of the Ankh is what she says, by the way. So yeah. That's your teaser for next time, guys. New America Part 2, because I am so excited to see. It's such a...
Me too.
I like that this album cover is, you know, a very... you know, natural, you know, as far as, you know, she's got an afro with like a lot of different people inside of the afro. And then the next one, she's like a cyborg or some shit.
It's very mechanical. Album cover.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see where that goes. Cause yeah, the second album cover reminded me of kind of the Arc Android album cover from Janelle Monae. I don't know when that came out, but yeah, Janelle Monae obviously inspired a lot by Erykah Badu. But yeah. So, I like that there's like a few things in between that like definitely make it a continuous concept album thing. Cause there's like kind of an intro to the whole album. There's the outro that's like teasing the next album. And then there's like just a few times there's like a static kind of sound between tracks or between parts to suggest like, I don't know, this is on the radio or something. We've had a few of those where it's like kind of a supposedly a radio production that you're listening to or something. Although it's not like as explicit, like explicitly that in this, you know, but yeah.
That's where we go in the world though.
Yeah. I don't fully understand the Fourth World War thing, but because, you know, there's no Third World War yet. So it's like, I don't know, but you know, that's neither here nor there.
Some Fallout logic.
Well, maybe after the
she watched birth. Fallout. She played some Fallout, and
after the third war, maybe we're trying to like not battle with weapons. Maybe we're like that's a whole different kind of war, like
spiritual.
It
war.
Is a spiritual.
Okay, I like that, Dave. I like that interpretation. This is like after the
figure a different way to fight.
Yeah, this is like in the Star Trek universe. This is after the nuclear wars happen. And they finally figure out peace.
Peace needs to be the option.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, they needed that strife to create the conditions to where people finally got on the same page. So
everyone knows. Enough.
I don't know if that's where the second
humans
the second
need to
goes,
kill each other before we realize killing each other isn't good.
Yeah, we like to do
we're
that.
A rough
we're
species.
Really fun. We really are.
Well, I mean,
fond
it
yeah.
took us how many years to figure out? You know, maybe we shouldn't treat certain people so bad.
Yeah. See, that's yeah.
So
that's
maybe
what
we
I'm talking
really,
about,
really need
know?
To blow each other up until we go, hey.
Yeah,
that was the wrong choice.
That yeah. was maybe a bad choice. Yeah,
we all
yeah.
as human, no, we're all as people all right, want
well,
like the right thing,
way?
Right? We all you know? Want to have yeah. a happy, comfortable life. Maybe we should just be good to each other.
Yeah,
we should try
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
that's the message from the album Concept Hour. This
yeah, yeah,
week,
yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Don't be a dick.
Just be don't be
good.
A dick.
Yeah, be good to each other.
Don't
as our good friend Dave says.
I mean, and you know, hopefully we don't have to go through the nuclear war stage, but you know, if we do,
we
hopefully
it
brings
it.
Us
we can segue together. Around it and yeah. still get to this
we
right
do
spot.
Do it together.
That'd be nice. That'd be nice. Yeah, that'd be good. I'd like that.
Because really, who wants a fucking war? Just stop it.
Yeah,
it's
stop
not
it.
Civil war.
Stop
no
it.
One's see, like
just
stop fighting
stop
with each
it,
other.
Guys.
We all
stop
want
it, humanity.
Fucking peace. We all want to be nice. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Come on.
So that's the message we got for you guys today. Love and peace.
Why are haters
peace
gotta be
love.
Hating?
Peace and love is what
we're
the
next
say.
Message.
The next message is what we're listening to lately. So we're gonna take this out with what we've been listening to lately. And why don't we start with you, Dave? I know you're getting to your Spotify right here.
Yeah, I'm pulling the
John and then me. What have you been listening to, Dave?
All right. I will say this last week there's been a handful of bands that were on full and heavy rotation.
Yeah.
Following Pup, full catalog.
All right, yeah. You got to do the full catalog.
Beastie Boys, full it, catalog.
Yeah.
Ramones, full catalog.
Yeah.
And these were the outliers. These were, I think I brought in the past, but it was the Detroit Cobras.
Oh, yeah.
So fucking good.
Yeah, right.
Pretty Girls Make Graves.
Oh, yeah.
They were, I can't remember all their spinoffs before, like, other bands that came off. I think it was, like, Skatachaka. I can't remember the bands
that
came.
What year was that?
Their first album came out, I think, 2005 or 2003.
I feel like I remember
2003?
Seeing ads about those.
So their
guys.
First album, Good Health. So in our group, I wanted to have a conversation about, like, what are the best track ones, side ones? Like, what's the best opener songs you can think of?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Good Health by Pretty Girls Make Graves.
Yeah.
There's a great song, Speakers Push Air.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe is the title, and it's so fucking good.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got stuck. I've been listening to a lot of their stuff.
Yeah.
They were fun live when I got a chance to see them. And I listened to a lot of American Steel, another old like punk band from like the early 2000s.
Okay.
That
okay.
I just love. So like that was a big chunk of this week for me.
Yeah, nice. That's a good spread. Yeah, yeah, I got some classics. Some
work's been really stressful, so I've been like just pumping music all day at work. I've been alone, so like I've had like the chance to just like zone out and just throw shit on and just nothing. So
man, that is the one of the only things I miss about my job at ACD is when I would get there an hour before everyone else and I could just play music that was going all over the warehouse.
Yep.
So great. Anyway, what about you, John? What have you been listening to lately?
I
know you
listening.
Don't have the controls of the work.
Right, right. But I've been
music.
Listening to a lot of Johnny Cash lately, right. actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can't go wrong with Johnny Cash.
And again, a little Blink 182 always sneaks in there. Somebody's playing some of that shit, you know. And then
okay.
Every once in a while, you get some new country, and that's give or take, depending upon the day, you know.
Yeah, the mood.
But listen to Johnny Cash. That's good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. We do got to do Blink-182 too at some point.
Yeah,
we have the
self-titled. We should do one
on the least, list.
You know?
Yeah.
Which one is self-titled?
Self-titled came out in 2005, I want to say. And it's when they like made a kind of emo switch over from pop punk to like emo pop punk.
Was it like the
it's
black
artwork
with like the red
smiley face?
Yeah, is that one?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna listen to that one.
That's the one I'd say is closest to a concept album, so that's what's on the list.
Yeah, I stuck with Dude Ranch. We had this conversation before.
Yeah. We've had the Blink-182 conversation. Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise,
change my mind.
Fallout. Good.
Oh yeah, Fallout. Yeah, yeah. As far as my plugs or and music, first thing, Dave sent me a really cool playlist.
How was it?
The Minnesota driving.
Oh, playlist? Michigan. Lost in Michigan.
Lost in Michigan. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's got a lot of, I'm blanking on the group. Broken social scene, as well as the singer.
She has a solo project.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, really enjoyed that. Enjoyed that one. A lot of like just, you know, great big emotional songs. And I also just recently picked up some more Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass.
Yeah.
I got Herb Albert's ninth, which is apparently their ninth album. And it's got a picture of Beethoven on the front. And then I got their greatest hits. So I got one album that's just like all the, all the best stuff. I got a polka album as well. Cause I was on, this will tie into my plugs, cause I was on the Beard Al podcast again, which is, has our, a guest, Lauren from the Beard Al podcast. We've had her on for Albuquerque. And, it was a really, really fun time. We talked about the Polkas on 45, which was Weird Al's first polka on his second album. And it was a really, really fun time. I definitely recommend you check them out. The Beard Al podcast. It is, the Weird Al podcast, the best one out there. I don't know if there are others, but I had a lot of fun talking about that.
There
so
might
definitely
be, but
check
it's
that
the
out.
Best.
Yeah, this one is the best. And they've had
your time with the other ones.
They had on Andy Merrill as well. Nice. So they've also had on Andy Merrill, which is great. That's what I want to plug, as well as the YouTube. We got a new video coming out. Hopefully
soon.
I don't know if it's going to be by the time this episode comes out, but we have another Hot Wings video. But this is my Hot Wings video I recorded while I was out in California, and it's about the 10 worst songs while we eat hot wings. And it mostly, I don't want to spoil it, but mostly just the bomb is hot. Mostly we have like a lot of kind of mild sauces and then this giant leap to the bomb. And
there's the hump.
It was right after my humps too. That's the spoiler that's in there. Hopefully by the time you're listening to this, we'll have it out on the channel, youtube.com/flyoverstatepark. And also thank you guys for listening. This has been our highest listened to week ever far. So good on you guys for keeping on listening. I really, really appreciate you guys out there. And I'm just hoping that in next few weeks I can maybe even push that further up. So keep on listening to these episodes, old episodes. I don't know. Play them
while
you're
at
work.
Call and request new episodes.
Call and request new episodes. Yeah, right. Fuck it.
Call and complain about me. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Call 608 Hit Nerd. Complain to us. Whatever. You know what I mean? We love you guys.
We want to hear from you, no matter
what.
From
you.
Seriously.
I appreciate all the new listens. And we'll see. We'll see you guys next week when we do Erykah Badu New America. Part
see you on
two.
The flip side.
Peace. I don't know why I'm doing the Nixon right now. You guys can't see it. I'm doing the
Brad's
Nixon.
Not a crook.
I'm not a crook. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
The Album Concept Hour is Brad LeBaris, Dave Gallagher, and John Aker. Special thanks to King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard for the theme music. Join the discussion on our Discord, tweet to us at albumconceptpod, or for everything else, go to linktree.com/flyoverstatepark. See you on Site B.
This is Flyover State Park. You are clear to land.